Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it. Boy, oh boy, wow-wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Hello and welcome to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. Glenn McFarlane here with Chris Kavanagh and Scott Gullen. Boys, what a big day it has been in football today. Scotty, what's happened?
Yes, Gil, our man Gil McLaughlin has... he shocked us with the timing, potentially. I mean, it's been talked about. We all knew, Cav, that COVID, he was going to get it through, and that took so much out of him, which I think we saw at the press conference earlier. But still, when he... I've loved him. I think he's a genius and has been outstanding. So we've got, what, 6 months to find someone else?
Yeah, and Kev, you were at the press conference. Yeah. He was emotional too.
He was quite emotional, yeah.
Tell us about
that. We haven't really seen much of that from him, but when he talked about the friendships he'd made through the AFL, at the AFL, his wife Laura and their four children were all in the front row. His brother Hamish was in the front row too. He had some executives there. Travis Old was in the front row there as well. He did get a bit emotional.
Yeah, which is a bit of a surprise, Scotty. Like there's the public Gil and there's the private Gil. He's very much a jokester and loves a bit of fun, the private Gil. Yes. But the public Gil has done an outstanding job, I think. You said before, he's got to be in the running, given that he got this competition, him and some others at the AFL, through COVID, which was probably the greatest threat in the competition's history.
Well, he's been at the place 20 years. I think that's...
22 years, yeah.
22 years.
Wow.
So
yeah.
It's a long time.
He's cutting that cord as well. Oh, he's... I mean, Andrew Demetriou had a great reign, but then to fill in, he got the AFLW up. He's got through COVID, which is extraordinary. He's got the massive TV rights, which are up again, and potentially he might sign off on Tassie on his way out the door. So he's done a hell of a lot.
They're big ticket, aren't they, when you look at it? And also, like, look at the infrastructure of the grounds, not just at AFL level, but also at suburban level and local level as well.
Yeah, all the AFLW change rooms and new venues there, and Marvel Stadium revamp on the way.
Why he worked, though, Mac, and you'll appreciate this, he loves football, as in he was a good player at amateur level, like a decent player, and you can always tell he wasn't an executive who's just come through with a fancy, CV and got the greatest job in Australia. He loved football. That was his main care. And he'd say things he shouldn't sometimes. That was why we sort of liked him. Like, he'd be honest. And
sexy scoreboards.
Sexy scoreboards will be one of his last ones. But his love of the game is what's obvious. He wasn't just an exec who often they go ring a rosy around these positions. He wasn't a businessman who was in charge of footy.
Yeah, and he said that a couple of times today, that I just love this game, and that was part of the reason why he got so emotional.
I think that's it. I think that's why he got emotional. This footy does mean a bit to him. And they've been through, you think about it, we've all been through in our own lives, a really challenging period through COVID. But to try and keep a competition afloat that's a $1 billion industry afloat, through the most significant moment in its lifetime. It's incredible.
Yeah, there's some of the stories. I think he's given a few, but I think there's a few that we don't know. Like about his lack of sleep, his family had to move away. Mm. He was 20-hour day, like all that.
He lost all that weight. He had the great... Yes. He went to school on your hairstyle for a while too.
He's no longer here. I'm still just out of mourning. But yeah, the toll it took, I think, and speaking to his brother Hamish, I think he's not surprised given the toll of that.
Yeah.
And now he feels like, and he said, Kev, he was on the plane going over.
On the way to the AFLW Grand Final last week, told Richard Goiter.
It's not going to be a distraction now, and this gives him a run. But he's got a bit on his plate. He's got
Well, that's the point.
This next 6 months.
Yeah. A lot of projects still to come.
He's got to get a new player's pay.
Yep.
For men and women.
TV rights.
Lock
it away.
And Tassie.
Yep.
He's going out with a bang.
And club funding as well. There's a lot of big picture items to sort of finish it out. So it's not like he's going to sail off into the sunset in the last 4 to 6 months. It's a pretty significant legacy that he's left. But what he does in the next few months is actually critical to the game going forward.
So naturally, about 1 minute after that press conference, we started, as we do as journalists.
Not sure it was 1 minute. Really.
Halfway through it. Who's going to replace him?
Well, I think as soon as we hit the button send on the story to get it out there. Now, this is the thing now. It's interesting because you mentioned being a footy person. Does this job need to be a footy person?
I'm totally convinced.
Good. So it needs to be a person deeply connected and deeply rooted in football.
There's nuances.
Man or woman, because there's some outstanding people out there as well.
But we've said, and you've talked to long-time CEOs of footy.
Yep.
And we've seen examples of people coming in, high profile, well educated, and the nuances of footy. I don't know what it is. It's something about it that if you don't get it, it's very difficult, particularly to run the game.
So Richard Goyder said that process will start pretty much immediately. They're going to get an external firm in to find a successor.
Would you want to work with one of these external firms? They did it last time. And guess
they
who they got?
The
bloke in the next office.
How much money these
Cav, that's what I want. That's our next role in life to organise that. So what did he actually say? Richard was obviously looking at. And did he talk about his own? There's been a lot of talk about Richard Goyder and there's been some negative sides of Richard as well. And from external people saying, where's he going to go forward? Did he say about his own tenure?
Yeah, he said he's very keen to oversee the transition and see the new CEO come through before he makes any moves himself. So he will be around for a little while.
But they'll hit the ground running in terms of getting a Gill replacement
locked
away as early as possible.
Yep.
So eternally Travis Old.
Yep.
And there's...
Andrew Dillon as well internally. If he wants to do it, I wonder whether Andrew Dillon wants to do it or not. But.
And then footy world, it's always Brendan Gale. Yep. And you hear mixed reviews on why the commission not in love with him, but clubs are. Ooh. So, I don't know.
How nitty gritty can we go here? Do you know... I mean, he's obviously done an outstanding job.
Oh,
you think about...
There's always... A club person's never going to have the full support of everyone.
No, because... There's three commissioners, I think, who've had club experience on the commission at the moment. I think that clubs would like a little bit more if they possibly could.
You do
like a punt, mind you, after what happened in Sydney last week, you may not like it anymore. But if you had a dollar, is there one you'd put it on, do you think, as a potential replacement? You don't bet in dollars.
My heart says... I'd like to see Brendan Gale.
Yeah,
I think
too.
What he did to Richmond, maybe the groundswell might get him over the line, actually. Yeah. Internally, Travis Old, with Demetrio and Gillen, it was obvious, wasn't it?
Yeah,
vice-captain, captain.
Yep.
Clearly
Step
he's
up.
Ready.
Yep.
Travis and Dillon are very good operators, but I feel like it's more a group. There's not, to me, it's not, look at Travis Old and go, yep, you're it.
Mm.
But he still could be
He did a huge job through the pandemic to actually fixture the games.
But I don't think it's as obvious as last time. So that's why then, like Brian Cook went close when Gillen got it.
Yeah, that's amazing when you think now.
Brendan Gale, I mean.
Sliding doors.
For his own career, I mean, what more can he do at Richmond? I know, I'm not saying he's about to leave at Richmond. But
no.
Yeah, he's been there a long time. And
the Tassie link, I mean, how good if you employed a Tassie CEO of the whole joint if you've ticked off going to Tassie.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I'm a bit like you. I think my heart says, I think Brendan Gale, it's time to move on to something like that.
Definitely,
he's done, I think of all the CEOs in recent times, he's had as good a run as a CEO in terms of what he's been able to achieve as anyone, really.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I think he's done an amazing job at Richmond and I'd love to see him get it as well. Yeah, he's been there from a long time and got them to the premiership success that they wanted.
It may come down to a stride for stride of the line, Travis Old.
Well, I look forward to
Brendan Gale. Or is there a wild card out there, like in another sphere that could potentially...
Well, that's it. Then you've got to go the outside football, the head of NRL and the head of soccer, they all sort of get their names thrown up.
Mm.
I think it'll be a football person. So,
you've both rated his reign hugely in that sense. Like, of all the things he's got to do yet, what does he got to get? What does he have to get right now? Like, you spoke about the TV rights. You would think that they would do something similar. Does that take care of
themselves?
Is Tassie the most important thing?
I think so.
Tassie's a big legacy piece for him, isn't it?
It is. Finish. It's a massive call when you do it, and if you, I think we all think it's going to happen. It's maybe when you do it.
Mm.
I think Tassie's probably the biggest thing out the door.
Yeah.
Bang. Thank you.
Yeah. That's and have you got a thought on what is going to happen there in terms of and when you let's cut to the chase. When would you like to see Tassie playing? They're going to surely they've got to be brought in, don't they? I think it's
Oh,
it's a fait accompli that we have a Tasmanian team in, whether it's then a 19th and 20th team or...
Well, they need to build a state. They've got to have at least 5 or 6 years' grace. I mean, they've got to build stadiums.
They've VFL got to, team.
Yeah, build a team in the VFL like Gold Coast and GWS did. I gather that would be the plan, 2 years in there and then roll into the real stuff. It's a 5-6 year thing, definitely.
Kev, just before we go to a break, Gil obviously cut the mane back and, you know,
did he trim it today?
Job. No. It's been a little bit trimmer than
it's been sharper than it was during COVID. Yes.
Than the COVID times. You have, you know, cut back your hair through this particular time. Does that mean you're a likely candidate for the role going forward at AFL HQ?
I'm looking for a corporate role, yes. I read the tea leaves and the hair wasn't working.
I think you do a superb job there for sure, Scotty. Guys, we'll take a break. I'm going to come back and talk to you about Melbourne, Richmond, Carlton and Collingwood. Boys, Melbourne, the only undefeated team in the comp at the moment. No surprise, but my big surprise is, who's coming for them? I can't see anyone coming at the moment. They're $3.50 to win the flag. I think that's pretty good value right now.
I think we all said that Brisbane was the next best team in it last week.
Who said that?
You didn't say Richmond, did you?
No, I didn't say Brisbane. No. I declared on this podcast.
Kevin and I did.
Macca and I did, yes.
Correct. Another error. We'll get to a few errors.
And then they fell down. They fell down against the Cats at the weekend. So, yeah, it's a wide open race after the Melbourne, isn't it?
I'm not damning them on that performance. I thought they were okay. Tough to win at the Cattery, like when you look at it. And that free kick, if it's paid, maybe the result's different.
Oh, no.
Maybe. The Cats were the best team. Don't get me wrong.
They should have won last year's. That was robbery. I don't think this one was robbery.
So, okay, let's cut to the chase. We've said Brisbane. I'm not sure we're going to completely stick to that. But I don't see many challenges at the moment. Now, this can change quickly. We're only 4 weeks in. Scotty, are there any challenges?
Well, Melbourne...
Look, they're not playing that well, let's be honest.
They're not going to be undefeated. At the moment, they're ahead. They'll hit a speed hump, but you're right. We've got to anoint two or three teams. So, look, Geelong can play 30 minutes of the most exhilarating football and beat anyone. Mm. But then you look at the ladder. Fremantle, who got beaten by St Kilda at home, and I wrote them off, have won the last 2 weeks. St Kilda were gone after round one. Yeah. Now everyone's like, oh, they're amazing, which they're not. Sydney were amazing, and then nearly got beaten by North. Carlton hit a complete wall, as predicted by one member of the panel. Collingwood hit a wall. Like, it's Richmond showed life. And then the Dog, you go back to the grand finalists who just can't kick a goal to save themselves. Right now, you think Melbourne are going to have another month before we figure out.
Mm.
Or they get an injury. I mean, we always come back to that. But right now, they're in cruise control.
Yeah, well, you did say that Brisbane had missed their premiership window, so we're death riding your comment on that. But Kev and I did say that Carlton could be 8-0.
I think that was Kev that said that.
I think that may have been Kev that
you
said that.
You wrote the story.
But I said I think
I
they
think
can
I
win.
Went through the games with you guys. Yeah. And this is what you both agreed.
Gold Coast will beat them this week.
You did say that. Did you?
I tipped them in the paper.
You tipped in the paper. Did you have a little small investment?
No.
Don't bet on footy?
I'm not betting on footy anymore.
Really? Ever again?
No, not since I backed Richmond to win the flag for $1 million.
Yeah, that's hurt. Kev, you did get that one wrong, but I supported you. I thought Carlton would win that game, and you're not to know that Patrick Cripps is going to go down.
No, you've got a bit of mail on Patrick.
Just a bit of mail on Patrick Cripps. No, I'm just saying, not massive mail, other than they think it's not too bad that it's actually
play next week?
Well, I don't think he'll play this week. He'll push to play this week. There's no doubt he'll push to play. They play Port Adelaide this week. He'll be pushing to play, but I think it'd be crazy to try and even think about playing. They think they got it early. And it may be a 1 to possibly 2 week thing, but if it's 1 week, Cav, that's not a bad scenario.
Yeah,
given that situation, and Pitten a big chance to come back this week, so. You know, they'll hit back, you would think, against Port Adelaide. If they don't, then we start getting a bit nervous.
Well, and then they've got Fremantle the week after. So if he's back for that game, that would be pretty big, given how well the Dockers are going at the moment.
It's very confusing, isn't it? Looking at that ladder. I mean, you're Melbourne, like you said, Macca, you're sitting pretty.
Well, if you look at it, Scotty, think about who plays finals. So we've got eight teams in there, obviously, at the moment. There's a couple who are just out on percentage. Who stays in? Melbourne stay in without a doubt. Brisbane stay in. That's a lock, yeah. I think. I think Geelong stay in. That's a lock.
Yep. Sydney.
Potentially Sydney. I've just got a little wobble with Sydney at the moment.
North Melbourne should have beaten them. Yeah, you're
potentially
right.
Sydney.
Fremantle, St Kilda, Sydney, Carlton and Collingwood.
I don't think any... Sydney not maybe, safe. But yeah. I don't think the other four are locks at all.
No, not at all.
Far from it.
So, but then who's going to leap in? Richmond, we always... You've got to say, in case Dusty comes back in the next couple of weeks, the Bulldogs, you can't write them off yet. But anyone else popping up? Oh, I don't know.
Just on your Bulldogs, like I was there on the weekend and
I'm trying to remember. I was out and didn't really watch it.
Yeah, so that's I saw every missed kick. I think it's 18-43 they've kicked. 18 goals, 43 behinds since three-quarter time of that
up
Carlton
with these
game.
Stats, Glenn.
I like these stats. So basically, they had the game within their grasp. Kev probably will disagree. Mm. They had the game within their grasp in that first quarter. And even in the third quarter, when Marcus Bontempelli stormed out of the middle, missed a few goals, missed a mark. It was, and then the Tigers just put him to the sword.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, the scoreboard didn't reflect the game in the end, did it? I mean, the Bulldogs were quite dominant, especially that first half around the ground.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with the. I mean, Aaron Norton, all the, you know, everything goes to him, and he's always been a tad inaccurate, and people look at his kicking style, and yes, it's clearly a problem, but the more the general problem is they don't have anyone else. I mean, we know Josh Bruce is out,
yeah,
and then their midfielders,
8 weeks at least.
Who historically, like Bont kicked 30-odd goals last year and didn't miss, and, you know, Bailey Smith kicked goals. He's only kicked one this year or something. Like, there's... Mm. It is an issue, no doubt. That's an understatement. But they need to fix it pretty quick or else, you know, I mean, North this week.
I reckon they've got four very, very winnable games if they can fix it in that time.
They need to put their head down and then try and find second half of the year. But, yeah, I mean, because they're a work-hard team. Because they have to work hard in the midfield. They have to sort of generate a lot of energy. And then if you keep getting let down, we saw what happened. Richmond then go, all right, here we go.
Kev, you've got a good stat on Richmond, haven't you?
Yeah, I was just having a look. So Damien Hardwick said after the game the other day that we've really only had a couple of bad quarters. And you have a look at the quarters one ladder, and the Tigers are actually third. Mm. So 11-5 for quarters one this year. So they're going quite nicely. Obviously, Melbourne's on top, 12-4, and Fremantle second with 11-5. So
wasn't Carlton a damning stat, even though we were all getting overexcited about it?
The Blues were actually only 7-9,
even though they'd won three in a row,
which is interesting.
Win the flag.
Yeah,
they actually hadn't.
You've
won
got a bit of a. You hate Carlton, don't you?
No, I think they're very good.
But
I thought it was over the top.
Yeah.
Because I saw what happened against Hawthorn. Like, they should have lost that game.
Was it John Elliott that once said that they had a tragic history, the Bulldogs? I'm wondering if you've taken that to heart.
Poor old John. No, I think they're very talented, and I think they'll make it.
Yeah.
But the overhype, which we're all guilty of, was,
no,
you
we
know,
do, and it's so spasmodic at the moment, isn't it?
I think Mick McGowan put it well last week in his column.
Spot on.
He said it was unsustainable brand, and
with your handiwork there helping him, Cav, you're absolutely dominating working with
great turn of phrase there,
McGowan as well there. So yeah, so the Dogs can get it done, but it's just going to take a bit of work on the training track. Bevo said it was snowballing. Well, you know when you're a journo and you're at a press conference and you're nervous and you go in and then you throw a couple of questions. It went okay, but he did say, I asked him about it being frustrating. He said, frustrating. Ah, that's a pretty obvious word. And I thought,
No,
he was good. He was really good. And the quotes were outstanding.
No, he's going to go anyone else. And he saw you and went,
I don't know about that.
It's one of my men. I will respond accordingly.
Don't know about that. St Kilda boys, that's the one that I am looking at and thinking, where has this come from?
Yeah, but the hype train, there's a warning bells to
the
me.
The hype train, I love a good catchphrase. Every week there's someone on the hype train. And this week?
This week's St Kilda. I mean, I'll tell you now, if Paddy Ryder doesn't play, which we'll get on to, you watch the Mojo. They got the Gold Coast at Marvel, but... Yeah, they were old, horrible.
Said that dismissively of the Gold Coast. And they're going, all right.
I backed them last week. I'm a big fan.
I thought you were on their train. I thought they were on the hype train.
But, yeah, I don't believe... We haven't seen the real St Kilda yet. The first round wasn't, and I don't believe, you know, who have they beaten in these last 3 weeks? Richmond, who have been struggling.
Struggling, yeah. Little bit harsh there.
Richmond?
A little bit. No, they have been struggling. Let's be honest.
They had a win over the Dockers in Perth.
Yeah, Dockers.
When they shouldn't have. They were gone at three-quarter time. Mm. And Max King, or Ben King, whichever King you want to
No,
say.
Max will...
obviously lost to the Pies in round one.
And Max King's performances, particularly his last quarter efforts, have been outstanding.
He's got a cape, that kid.
He is
absolutely so exciting.
And you've got to give Brett Ratten a bit of a tick here. Like, what do you do with Brad Hill? So he decides, let's move him forward. Kicks four goals, has 23 disposals, and, you know, it's 1 week. But
and I'm sorry, they've beaten Hawthorn, who are an emerging team who got overs in the first 3 weeks and then ran out of puff and
I love
got
you
injuries.
Slapping down the high
one of the youngest
Carlton
teams in the comp
down last week.
Yeah. So while it was 10 goals, let's wait until we see some better matchups for the Saints.
Well, you did talk about Paddy Ryder, and we'll go to a break now, and I'll ask you a question about Paddy Ryder when we return. Let's look at, boys, the Paddy Ryder ban. The Saints are appealing. Have they got a case, do you think?
I say this every week. I don't like people getting suspended, but he chose to bump. He moved towards him. Did he try and pull up? Maybe he did, but our Brisbane man, Robertson, like, he got done for. Literally stopped and
he
tried
did.
To get out of the way.
Yep.
So I don't see any grounds in the current world that he can get off.
There was no malice in it, was there? But
that doesn't matter.
You hit the head, you concuss Will Day, and I mean, you've got to get a week or two, don't you?
Yeah. Well, he misses a game.
Yeah, he does.
And you get another one for doing the act.
And I don't think it matters. Will Day's had a previous concussion, and some people throw up and say, oh, some people are more, you know, inclined to have concussions. I don't think that matters, does it?
No.
If you've got a concussion, you've got a concussion.
Now, your old coach raised an interesting point.
My old coach?
Nathan.
Oh, Nathan.
Who loves the media now. He's part of us.
He's part of us. Has he appeared in Media Street yet? A couple of times, I think.
Yeah. So his point, I think he's right, he just chose the wrong case.
Yep.
So he was trying to say that Will Day should have more responsibility on him to protect himself. You watched the video, he had his head down.
Not sure what he can do.
Head down, kicked the ball, and by the time he looked up, here's Patrick Ryder's shoulder coming to his head. I agree with Nathan in other instances, you lead with your head and all that, but this wasn't one of those.
No, that's why
I thought Bucks' argument... I get it, but in this case, I don't think you can sell that one at the tribunal.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
No, I mean, I take it they've got the chance to appeal. Why not appeal? Is a
so
crucial
what grounds,
player.
Kev, you're a genius at this stuff. What, we're trying to get, what did it go to? Careless? What, it wasn't intentional, so he's got okay there. What was it graded?
By impact.
Well, it's hard to argue that, isn't it?
Yeah. What they'll do is they'll challenge the high impact aspect of the decision. They'll try and argue it down to medium, which might make it
medium.
Might make
impact.
It 1 week. So because a 2 week ban, are you comfortable with 2 weeks with that? You are, aren't you?
Oh well, I am only because you know I am actually, and I don't think he meant to clean him up, but this is the why they're trying to change things. So you've got to stamp out examples of it.
No, I agree. And I would be surprised to see that would be.
What about
issue?
Harry Mackay's faking? I love a stager.
You love a stager, don't you?
I think it's hilarious.
That was good.
Well, he did go down.
He did.
Yeah.
As if shot?
A little bit.
It was a little.
Maybe a child barely brushed him, didn't he?
Yeah.
I like that Chris
Sager. Do you like a good stager?
I just find it amusing that they find these. Oh, we've got one.
But. And they're very haphazard, though, aren't they? There's not a lot of consistency in who gets dumped for staging and who doesn't.
And, boys, the COVID things hit Collingwood today. We've now found out that Brody Meierczyk won't be playing this weekend. He's a close contact, so won't be playing. And your man, Jack Ginnivan.
He's off again.
Sore.
Has he still got bleached hair?
Well, that's right. He has. It takes a while to grow out, doesn't it?
I suppose it does. You couldn't.
Back in the old
day,
I haven't done it for 25 years, Scotty, I think, as well.
Now, it used to be a great game, Brisbane Collingwood on Easter
Thursday. Yes, it did.
But
I sense great
that
contests.
You're distancing yourself from this one, Glenn.
I'm not distancing myself. I think it's going to be a challenge for Collingwood. They do, in fairness, they
play
lose.
Well there.
So, in fairness, they get back Jordan Degowie and they get back Taylor Adams. And you would think that
Jordan Roughhead
would play. Yeah. Kruger's a chance to come up as well.
I've heard of in the forward line, given my chicken
you
alley.
You may
won't,
not know.
Won't be there.
No. Brian Taylor's gone. I'm trying to think of the ones that you might have heard of back then. It'll be a makeshift sort of forward line.
The sunglasses at night has to come out, doesn't he?
Who's that? Mason.
He has to take the sunnies out. Sure.
It's an interesting question about whether they play Mason or... No, Freddie Krueger can play. Like Freddie, well, he there'll be a test later in the week. Yeah, there'll be a test later in the week whether he plays. I think
so. Freddie,
Freddie's a chance, and if Freddie doesn't play, you think Mason Cox would have to play, and it might mean that they might need to play Dugowie, you know, with Elliott out, and they might and Mychek out. They might need to play Dugowie closer to goal. But I mean, are they any chance?
Yeah,
let's
they
whip
are.
Through these games quickly. Are they any chance to play?
Well, that midfield, I mean, those ins. I like Collingwood when they get rolling, but kicking goals.
Hard to pick them.
Hard to pick them.
Good Friday. We've got two games, North and the Bulldogs.
It's a bye, thankfully.
A bye.
It was 180 million points.
Did you watch North last week? Nearly clinched the game against
them. Almost beat the Swans.
It was a good gutsy effort.
Dismissive almost of them.
No, I joke.
These are the sort of things that I reckon David Noble would cut up and put up on the wall.
I'm joking. They were outstanding. Probably should have won, but and they would want a revenge last year. Because, I mean, you know, it's a prime time spot, and you should have to earn your stripes.
Yeah.
So they probably need to show up.
If your mob kicks 7 goals, 19 again, they're not going to beat too many sides.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, it's a very good
point. It's probably a danger game.
So a couple of games.
It was a bye. It's now a danger game.
I'm all for a Good Friday footy now. We've got Good Friday racing this week, Scotty. Sale. You'd be excited
by
it.
The day's really looking good.
There's not much else to fill the day, is there?
No, that's very true. Royal Children's Hospital, give is all I will say. And then we go, obviously, Saints and Gold Coast, Adelaide. Oh, no, we missed the West Coast and Sydney, the double header. I like the double header.
To West Coast momentum, although Nick Nat's now out.
Nick Nat's out. That's a setback.
Sydney struggled going to Perth. Like, that's not...
50-50 game, I reckon.
No Buddy, no Nick Nat. So that's a bit of a blow for that game.
It's not a layup for Sydney that you think it might be.
St Kilda, Cav, the Gold Coast Suns. Can't see them winning. Can't quite see them winning. They were great last week. I like some of the ways, you know, Noah Anderson's playing some really good footy.
The Saints are a pretty good side at Marvel, especially, aren't they?
I think they'll have to get
that. Adelaide Richmond?
Well, Tiger time. I think
it's Tiger time.
They get a whiff, you'd think they'd be able to handle Adelaide in Adelaide.
I like some of their kids, but some of their older blokes seem to be feeding off that enthusiasm as well. I don't know if you saw, you think I talk about him all the time. The Cochin, you missed this. You were out on Saturday night. You missed the Cochin effort with Bailey Smith where he set up a crucial goal in the second quarter.
Oh, no. I didn't see it and I don't want to hear about it. It'll be in the book, though. I'll be able to read it.
No, not at all. Melbourne and the Giants. Is that a done deal?
The Giants actually caused Melbourne problems. Ooh. You go through recent history. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but...
They're a similar inside contestable team, aren't they?
They've got a very good record.
We whipped to Easter
Sunday. Melbourne are going to lose one soon. That's
Carlton,
all I'll say.
Carlton, do they get their Easter present, their Easter bunny present this week with Port Adelaide? Is that the...
They're vulnerable. Wines out obviously hurts. Port are going to win one soon. Like, they're not... They were third last year. They're not going to go 0-15. They're going to win a game. Carlton on the rebound. Pitney back.
That'll help.
They're vulnerable. It's not a layup.
Essendon, Fremantle, Cav?
Tough one. Yeah, over at Marvel Stadium. Yeah.
Is Fife alive? What's happening with Nathan Fife?
Fife is alive, yeah, unfortunately. I don't think he's going to play, but he's, you know.
I've underestimated Freo. They burnt me with St Kilda. And
that hurt.
I've
stuck with him. I've got to. I'm on part of the train, the Purple Army I am.
I tipped him to make the eight, but why have they been winning without Mundy came back, didn't he?
Well, yeah, Fife aside, they've had a bit of a better run with injuries too. Their back line's actually in place, which it wasn't last year.
Good kids.
Yeah.
My man, Sammy Switkowski.
I mean, Essendon fell over the line. What do you think about Essendon?
Yeah, it was an ordinary performance on the weekend. They were lucky.
Is Jake the Snake Stringer back?
I think surely they beat Fremantle, you would think. I think I'll have to see.
Well, if they want to play finals, they've got to beat Fremantle.
Last chance hotel, isn't it? And the one that we always, the Easter Monday, they don't like each other, these two teams.
No, they don't.
Now, they don't. You know the hatred that exists, even to this day. Now, this used to be, for a period of time, the best rivalry. Now, everyone's talking up Adelaide and Port.
The old Kennett's curse.
Oh, they'd always be under a goal, amazing games.
Who wins, Scotty? Cats win, don't
win by 10 goals.
Oh, so the rivalry's dead.
Yeah, it's gone.
Cav, are you the same?
Oh, we're Scotty on that.
Oh, very good. Now, the last one before we let you go, Kevin Sheedy, the man who caused the 50-metre, the introduction of the 25-metre and then the 50-metre penalty with that time-wasting, he wants to get rid of the 50-metre penalty. What are your thoughts, boys?
I don't like the stand rule and the players, which Robbo wrote about in the tackle the other day, the players trying to fake the handball to get the 50-metre penalty. I don't like that, and I think it's a big penalty, but I'm not for getting rid of the 50-metre penalty.
I only read the Sunday tackle, but this is the best thing he said, and normally he doesn't make a lot of sense.
This is actually...
50-metre penalty.
Yeah, it's crazy now.
It shouldn't decide games, this sort of stuff.
And this is going to decide a grand final one time, Scotty.
And the player's faking, the umpire has to be across that. If the player under marks clearly moved to try and stop play, penalising, but not just because he flinched. So the umpires have to be better. 25 metres is enough. Can the AFL change it midstream? Of course they won't, which is disappointing. But the protected zone thing as well, there's so many evidence.
I want to get rid of the stand rule. That's me. I don't like that.
Well, the stand has helped the flow of play, though.
Has it, though?
I reckon it has. Because you mark it, they just wander off, and it has helped that. So I'm a supporter
still
of that.
Some average games. But,
There's average teams. But this 50 metres is just too much of a penalty.
There's your headline. Scotty wants to. He said Kevin Sheedy has finally made sense.
Genius. I love him.
Boys, you've been outstanding again today. Good luck for the rest of the week, and we'll see which hype team gets the flick next week. Thanks for listening, and for all your news and views, go to heraldsun.com.au.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.